Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Welcome, everyone, again. We're back here at Father's Vineyard doing an online streaming. And I want to thank the media team for a great job that they have done to be able to put this all together. And me and all of the new technology sometimes doesn't get along very well, being old school. So we have to learn from the younger people how to do this. So, but we're so grateful that we have a great team here that knows what they're doing, and they do an absolutely fabulous job at doing it. We want to welcome all you guys and want to ask you a question. Are you doing well? Are you doing okay? I don't know about you, but I really do miss the church family. I miss getting together. I miss the contact that we make. I miss the casual conversations as well as the deeper conversations that we get into, you know, as individuals. And there's something about the fellowship that we truly do miss when we're going through times like this. But we will come out of this looking like a different people. And that's sort of what the message is about today. But before I get into it fully, I want to address something that I've been hearing in the news media and hearing other people talk about, and that is the coined phrase of new normal. How many of you have heard that? You guys heard new normal, the new normal, the new normal. And the more I thought about that, the more I didn't like it. As a matter of fact, I'm fighting against a new normal. And what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I'm beginning to say, instead of a new normal, I don't want to use that phrase. Instead of a new normal, I want to say a brighter future. I'm looking for a brighter future. I'm looking for one that is much better than we had before. I'm looking for the thing that God is looking to do in His people and in this earth. When you look at the scriptures, and I sort of looked at some of this, but aren't you glad that we serve a God that we just got through singing about, that nothing is impossible for Him? Nothing. Well, what? Nothing is impossible for Him. That's who we serve. That's who we love, and that's who loves us. But over in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, listen to this thing. Now, see if you find normal in any of this. He says, "He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" When you look at that thing, we focus on this thing that he says, "Behold, I want you to stand up. I want you to take notice. I want you to make an observation that I am making all things new." That's not normal. There's nothing normal about that, because he is the one making all things new. And he even emphasized who's saying it, because it said, "He who sits on the throne." It is he. It is the one that is in charge of it all. It is the one who created it all. So he is the one that can make all things new. So I'd like for you and I to sort of not adapt this thing about new normal, because we don't really want normal. We want the awe of God to be able to just take us away at any moment, any time, no matter where we are, that we would be a people demonstrating who he is to a people that need to see him lived out in flesh. A lot of people hear messages, but what they're really looking for is someone to live out what we believe and what they've heard in the flesh, in our bodies, to be able to live that out. So this new thing, this new behold, making all things new, what else did he make new? Listen, I wrote a list here. I'm thinking upon this thing about new normal. In the scriptures, it talks about a new life, a new song, a new teaching, a new covenant, a new heart, a new commandment, a new creature, a new creation, a new man, a new self, a new convert, a new living way, a new heaven, a new earth, new things, new wine, new Jerusalem. And that's just a few. So there's nothing normal about this thing. So when we come out of this thing, we want to come out not normal, but we want to come out as a people that have been stirred by the Spirit of God to do the very things that he's asking us to do, because you and I both know that we don't have a lot of time left before Jesus comes. He could come any moment. We just don't really have a lot of time left. And we need to make sure everybody has an opportunity not to be able to receive Christ, and not only that, but to be able to live out what he's put in them. You know, and that's what we're doing today. That's what all Christians should be able to do and should be doing, is living out what he has put in us. But you may be behind closed doors right now, but I want to tell you something, that you have a much higher calling than where you are. You have a much higher calling than where you are. The first part of your calling is for you to have faith and trust in God. Faith and trust in God. What do you mean? Well, as the doors are closed, and as this thing, as the virus is, you know, going around, and as things have changed, we need to see God and profess God and have faith in God and trust in God to be our protector, to be our healer, as we just got through singing about, to be our provider, to be our deliverer, to be our savior. See, this is the time to be able to proclaim those things while we're tucked away, while we're in our homes, and while we're limited on the things that we can go out of our homes and do. This is a time for us to make the declarations of who he is and who we are in him. The second part of our high calling is the fact that we need to find the place in our high calling to be able to have God trust us. You know, that thought hit me, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and I began to ponder that just a little bit. You know that God is looking for someone that he can trust. You know, it's great that we trust God. We have to have faith in God for us to be able to be born again, and the sacrifice that he made, and that is tremendously awesome. But in the scriptures, he's looking for the people that he can pour into and trust with to be able to do what he wants us to do. You know, our salvation is not one that we sit on. That's not our, you know, I'm grateful for salvation, but it isn't something that we just have it and sit still. No, we must be a people who are reaching that other side of that high calling to get to the place to where God is trusting us, to give us things. You know, if you have a child and they're 5 years old, and you have a loaded weapon in your house, you're not going to go to a 5 year old and say, "Here, go outside and play with this." It's foolish. Isn't wise at all. Matter of fact, it's very dangerous. Why is that? Because the maturity level of that child has not reached the place to where you can trust them with a loaded weapon. And it's the same thing here. God knows he wants us to know as well that when he trusts us with things, that we have proved to him with our maturity. You know, it's awful to know that sometimes that we've been born again for 15 or 20 years, and yet we're at the same place that we were 15 or 20 years ago. Yet we're born again, but we're at the same place. And all that is because we haven't allowed ourselves to be developed during times like these. We've not allowed ourselves to be a people that have grown to the place that we can be trusted. That's what God is looking for us. When we come out of this thing, you may ask, you know, what is God looking for? When we come out of these doors, when we come out of these homes, when we come out from behind these things and get out, and everything is a brighter future, what's he looking for? He's wanting to be able to trust you with things that you have never been operating in. You've always had them. He's always given them to you. He's not holding out on you. You always had them. They're inside you. But at the same time, there's not a release of it because there's not a trust factor that God has in you. So we need to build this thing of trust, of allowing God to be able to trust us with what it is that he wants us to do. You know, when you look at the scriptures, you see that God looked and he searched for someone. And it's in several places in the scripture. So he was looking. He was looking for someone. One of the places is in Ezekiel. He said he was looking for someone to stand in the gap. He was looking. He was looking to and fro. He was looking for someone to stand in the gap, to pray, to be able to go to that breach that had this wall, this breach had happened. And he said, I looked for someone. I looked for a man. I looked for someone to be able to stand in this gap. Who was he looking for? He was looking for somebody he could trust to send to this gap. But he said, you know the sad words? I found none. See, God is looking for people. He's looking for people to be intercessors. He's looking for people to be ones that are praying, ones that are seeking him and crying out to him on behalf of the nation, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the country. And another one of those things in the scriptures, it says, my father is looking for, searching for true worshipers. That's amazing to me that God is looking for true worshipers. But notice he did say true. He didn't look just for worshipers. He looked for the people who had true worship. I wonder what that was in spirit and in truth. Grown to the place that it's not about them anymore. It's all about him. So when we ask ourselves, how do I get to this place that God is trusting me with more, to be activated inside me, to be able to demonstrate the things. Isn't it just awesome to think and meditate and reflect upon the thought process of God Almighty, the creator of it all, is looking for you and I to be at a place that he can trust us with more than what we already have demonstrated. I think it's just such an awesome, awesome thing. But it's a challenging thing to me. It's a challenging thing as well. And we want to make sure we all grow to that place. And, you know, these difficulties, these hardships, these difficult times, this distressful time, all designed by God. I'm not saying God caused this, but the design of God's plan is to bring you to be a developed person in a way that he can trust you and I. We can become the people that he wants us to be. So I think this coming out, you know, this this thing about coming out of these doors and the doors being wide open and this brighter future is open to us now, I honestly think it's our greatest time. It's our greatest time alive. It really is. I think it's the greatest time for the church. Not to come out of these times being hard or bitter or having these ill thoughts that we're having to go through this, and ill thoughts toward our government, which we'll probably speak about that in just a moment. But the thing is, he wants us to come out these gates. And I reminded that passage right now about like a young calf kicking out of the stall. Man, just, I mean, with so much energy, so much zeal, so much inside of us that we can't help ourselves. You know, and we go out and we see the world that is in such a need of Jesus. And nothing's holding us back anymore in the grocery stores. Nothing, wherever it is, nothing's holding us back anymore to be able to say, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know that he loves you? And just begin to share your story, unafraid and with the boldness that God wants us to have, because he's entrusting us with that testimony to be able to share it with other people. You know, it's a sad thing to be able to be touched by God, to be delivered by God, to be healed by God, to be saved by God, and then not have a story to tell. It's such a sad thing. Why? Because he gets honor and he gets glory from the story that he's created in our life, and he gets all the glory, all the honor when we tell our story about, but God. I was in this kind of shape, but God. I was at this place of hurt, harm. I was this place of evil. I was this place of doing the things that I did. But God. See, anytime we start sharing the story of Him and Him changing our lives, you begin to see their eyes open. You know, and you may say, well, you know, Pastor, everybody does it. No, everybody doesn't open their eyes to it. But those that do, it mattered to them. It made an impact on them. Well, I want to talk to you, you know, about this thing, you know, concerning how do I become a person whom God trusts? How do I do that? Well, there's three major points that I want to make. I probably won't get it all in today, but we'll make sure that we continue to share it as we go on our Sundays. But the first step in becoming someone whom God trusts is this. Become a person of humility. Become a person of humility. And why is that? Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 through 12, it says, "And whosoever exalts himself shall be humbled." So if you're the one going around exalting who you are, exalting who, what you do, exalting how much you know, which there's a lot of people that do that, he said those people will be humbled. There'll be things that will bring humility to them, because right now they're just operating in pride. He says, "Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." You know, and he says this as a leadership thing as well, because he says, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest among you shall be the servant of all." You know, there are so many leaders today, you know, even in the church, there's so many leaders today that everything's about them. Everything's about what he knows or what she knows or what he does. And it just revolves around them. And Jesus said, you know, the greatest is the one who humbles themselves and serves everyone. Becoming someone who serves others, even the least of these. Serving. You want to be great in the kingdom of God. You want to be a great leader. You want to be a great believer. You want to be a great follower. You want to be a great Christian. Serve the rest of them. That's an upside down. That's the reason the new normal doesn't include this. The new normal will include whatever's normal to the world. That's the reason I like to think of it and see it as a brighter future. Why? Because brighter future, because we, the people of God, are coming into the place to where we're going to learn humility. You know, I'm amazed about how quick everything happened concerning all of our circumstance and the virus. I'm just taken back by all of it, how quick everything happened. You know, so we need to understand that yes, a lot of things have happened, but who are we going to serve? Are we still serving people? You know, for those of you that are listening in and you attend another church, but you just happen to drop by today or whatever just to check in with us, go to your pastor, go to your leadership, find out, what can I do to serve? What can I do to help you? What can I do to make things easier for you? What can I do that can help the vision of the house? Begin to serve. And then begin to look at people that you see the need, and then you step up to try to meet the need. That'd be a wonderful, bright future, wouldn't it? Be a great thing for us to be able to do that. But Jesus tells us, if you serve all, if you serve the others, you'll become great in what I want you to be. Once again, something God wants to entrust us with, the greatness. But the first thing he tells us to do is to be humble. To humble yourself. This thing about humility, how do you explain humility? Well, as the definition of humility, humility is the modest view of one's own importance. In other words, you're really not any more important than anybody else. You may have a different position. You may have a different calling. You may have something different that God's calling you to do, wanting you to do. But as importance in the body. There's no big and no little. You know, God talks about the body, you know, through Paul's writings. And he says, you know, that the ear cannot say, I don't have any need of the eye. Oh, yes, we do. We have any, he even talked about the parts that are unseen. How valuable, even though you don't see the parts that's inside of you, how valuable are those parts? Try doing without a heart. Try doing without your lungs. No, it's all valuable. You know, and God wants us to see that in the process of serving others, we produce a humility that he takes note of. Over in Matthew chapter 11, he says this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. So here is something. You want rest for your mind, will, and emotions? Do you want to find that rest? Well, he says this. He said, the way to find rest for your emotions, the way to find rest for your thoughts, for your mind and your will, your decisions, the way to find rest is to be able to take what governed Jesus, which was the kingdom of God, what governed him, is put that on and let it govern you. He says, if you do that and you learn of me, and what, you know, he didn't say learn of me because I'm brilliant, because I am the king. He even though he was, but he didn't target that as being the key for you to finding rest for your soul. What he alluded to and what he pointed to was the humility and the servant that he was in serving the Father. He said his food was to do the Father's will. Whatever the Father's will was, that was his food. That's what he ate. That's what he loved to do. So if you want to find rest for yourself, this is something that you find. In the beginning of that chapter, it says, come unto me, all you that are laboring, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, from our weariness, he says, you come and I'll give you this kind of rest. He said, but there is a rest that you need to have for your soul that I want you to find. And the only way to do that is to be humble enough to say, Lord, all this thing that has governed you, what the Father is saying and the government of God, I want that to govern me. Because over in Isaiah, it says, and the government was placed upon his shoulders. That's the yoke. The government was placed upon his shoulders. Why? Because he let the things of God govern him. That's the reason it says, seek ye first. What? It's seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first being governed by God and his righteousness. Then all these other things, you want all these other things? That's how you get all of these other things. He said, they'll be added to you. Some of you need things added to you. All of us need things added to us. But he says, if you seek first being governed by him and his righteousness, all these things will be added. Well, I love that thing that you add. I need to get going. One of the things over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 that we use a lot during these times, he said, and it says this, if my people who are called by my name shall humble. First thing he said, okay, you need healing in the land. First thing he starts talking about is humility. So his call to his people, this is to call to his people. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Humble. You know, a lot of times we can't find humility because we hold another thing over here that we're hanging on to that a lot of times isn't God. And we can't let it go because we think that's the security of it, the security that we have. But he says, no, if you want the land to be healed, and really, this land needs healing, doesn't it? So the people of God need to humble themselves. And then he says, and pray. See, he didn't start out with prayer. He didn't start out with seek his face. He didn't start out with turn from your wicked ways. He started out with humble yourselves. See, if you have an agenda that you can't give up, see, that is not looking at your own self in a very modest way. It's not, you know, because you're hanging on to this thing that you really feel like you want to do, or you want it your way. I'll have it my way. You want it your way, then it's not God's way. Then it's not humility. So he says, humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then he says, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will hear their land. The other thing in Psalm 25, 9 says, he leads the humble in what is right. You want to do what is right? Humility. That's how it starts. It starts from a debasing of this thing, of not building your own self up, because he said earlier, he said, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. You will be brought down instead of going down to that lower place yourself. And he goes on and he says, not only that, but he says, he will teach the humble his way. Well, don't you want to know the ways of God? That comes through humility. The Bible says over in Psalm 37:11, it says, but the humble shall inherit the land and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You want the abundance of peace? You want to inherit the land? It starts and it only comes through humility. Humility. Being humble. Being at that place to where your own importance is not important. Your own self is not important. You look at others and try to serve them more than you serve yourself. 1 Peter says this, clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. We're going to play a song here. It's not a video, but now you watch and you'll see something that comes up. But now you'll hear something in the song. This is going to reveal some of my age. This song was written in 1969, but I'm telling you, it is so relevant to what we're talking about. If we catch this, but I want to bring note that you will hear this in this song. You'll hear a word that talks about karma. You know, but you know, that was years and years ago. Karma was the one that talked about, hey, you do this, it'll happen to you. But see, it goes way back before karma was ever invented as far as a word. What it really is God's principle. He will not be mocked. What you sow, you will reap. So just sort of listen when you hear this song, but don't pay attention to that. I want you to pay attention to everything else that is going on in the song. So let's listen. Okay, we apologize for that. Undoubtedly, you hear the music, but you couldn't hear the words. But you can go look it up. It's Walk a Mile in My Shoes. Walk a Mile in My Shoes. Before you criticize and abuse, walk a mile in my shoes. Now, and that's by Joe South, by the way. But in this process of listening to the song, if you have time after the service is over, you can sort of Google that and listen to the song. It is so important that before we start talking about things and people, We need to be able to attach ourselves to what they're going through. See, which means we'll have to humble our own self to be able to see others from a different perspective. As we walk and try to walk into some areas that they have walked in, what they have gone through, and identify ourselves with what they've gone through and what they need in life, then that's a wonderful opportunity for us in return to be able to meet the need for them, to be able to meet the need in their lives, to be able to touch their lives and allow the Holy Spirit to touch their lives through us. And this thing is about walk a mile in my shoes. You know, you need to find a place that you can humble yourselves and identify with other people. Identify with other people. I remember a lot of things going into my life. I remember one thing in particular. I got a phone call from a church member that was pretty upset. And she was upset over some things that she misunderstood. And actually wrong information and everything. But the first five minutes of that phone call, it was about everything that she was saying that I either did wrong or said wrong, or it was just I was wrong, me. And now, but it was just so adamant. She was so adamant about it that I asked the Lord in the process of hearing her, and I'm her pastor, and hearing her, and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what can I do? This is one of your daughters. This is one of my sisters. What can I do to help diffuse this and to make this thing what it needs to be? Here's what I heard the Lord say. Find the lowest road that you can take and take it. Find the lowest road that you could take and go that way. Well, I sort of understood what he was saying. So she said, well, I've done all the talking. I guess I need to let you respond. You know, that's how she said, I guess I need to let you respond. My first response was, you know, first thing I want to say is I really want to ask you to forgive me for not being the pastor that I really need to be for you and for other people. I need to grow in learning how to shepherd God's flock in a way that doesn't create or doesn't bring about these things. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And will you forgive me for not being the pastor that you've needed? It got silent. So the silence went on for just a few seconds, and she said, Pastor, it ain't all you. And I said, well, I'm just talking about my part. I just really want to say that. And she said, no. It's really more me than it is you. I mean, all of a sudden, this whole conversation began to turn. Instead of me trying to straighten her out with facts, instead of me, which is not wrong all the time, but when I asked God, what can I do? He said, find the lowest road you can take and take it. And then after that, that lady has been charming, wonderful. And so it's one of those things when we understand what humility is really like and we're not really worried about what we look like, even though something's been said that's not true, something's been said that has been misunderstood. And, you know, so when you run into those things, humility is the one that works. Because he said this, God said this, if you humble yourself before me, I will give you grace. I'll give grace to the humble. Why do we need grace? Grace is getting the good things of God when you don't deserve them. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Justice is you get what you deserve. He said, I'll give you grace. See, there's a giving and a trusting of an empowerment from God comes when you humble yourselves. When we find this place of humility, when we find this place of humbling ourselves before God, before the presence of God, grace comes. This other side of grace is the enabling power of God to get to enable you to do what it is that he wants you to do. He never asks you to do anything that he doesn't supply the very power, the grace that it takes to do it. Such a wonderful God. So, we're not really through with all of this, but we'll pick back up on it, and maybe we can do something with the song. But this thing about becoming someone that God trusts is huge. It's developed, and we'll talk more about that. But before I let you go, I want to pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you're the one true God. There's no one like you. And God, we honor and we worship you. And we realize that our extension of our physical extension, the extension of us going out physically, is hindered now. But it isn't stopped. So we ask you behind these doors that you will do a work in us to bring us a greater understanding of what humility means, a greater understanding of what being humble means, and not try to build our own selves up, because that will only lead us to a place of failure. But when we humble ourselves in the presence of God, you said you would lift us, you would exalt us to a place of prominence. That's what that word means, prominence, to a prominent place, to a place of importance. And we know we're important to you, Lord. So use us, teach us, train us, and then we ask you to release us to go and take your trust and let it honor you in our living. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.